David, Rebbe needs to press star six.
All right, hear me now?
Yes, I hear Rebbe now.
Good.
Hey, Chevra, welcome to a special conference call today, sponsored by the National Council of Young Israel. On his first yard site today, Balad Menachemov. We miss Rebbe Hammer dearly, as a close friend to many of us. Rebbe's going to answer the questions first and then have some words of tribute to Rebbe Hammer at the end of the call. Rebbe.
Thank you very much. This call is coming to you from Camp Morashah Kolo. I think it's a first to be broadcast from here. But of course, because of the special circumstances of being a yahrzeit, Rabbi Yoman Hammer, Zichrono Livracha, so it's being done from here. I hope the reception will be good. We'll talk about Rabbi Yoman at the end. Let's go through the 18 questions that have been submitted. Question 1. A family is making Aliyah, and there's a Christian organization called Return Ministries that arranges for church members to sponsor Jewish families making Aliyah. They circulate details about the family, names, ages, reasons for making Aliyah to potential sponsors who agree to donate towards their Aliyah and pray for their success. The application form requires agreement to the following. Please confirm you're open to this new relationship of prayer, encouragement, and financial support. The Return Ministries will strive set up for you, members of the Christian community who love God more than people. Is this problematic since it's due to accepting tzedakah from non-Jews? Or lo yishama apicha? Or being mechazik them in avodah zara? All three are true. This is absolutely prohibited. It's very important to draw distinctions between a program such as this, which has all three problems, as opposed to some other situations where an individual can receive support from, not from a private citizen, but some kind of a group, typically sponsored by some of the churches, that their eschatology calls for the Jews' return to the land of Israel. That's their interest, but they make no demands for any names, ages, reasons. They have no interest of any statements or information, nothing. They just give you money. That I believe is okay. But here, with number one, is individuals. That's why it's stuck as opposed to an institution. There's no stuck. That's their business, just to help people study the land. I don't call it stuck. And in addition, here they're talking about their Christian community and that's an implication of Avodah Zarah. This is absolutely prohibited. It should not be confused. Some other programs I think are permissible. Number 2. Normally, on days we do not say Tachnam, we also do not say Yirot, so that's a Kriyas HaTorah. But the same applies when we do not say Tachnam, because there is a bris and a shul or the presence of a chosen. In my opinion, the answer is yes. Number 3. My 12-year-old son says that the Minig HaMolam is to fast 3 fasts before turning bar mitzvah. Is there a basis for this? What is the actual halacha and Minig regarding children fasting? Was the proper chinuch child really wants to fast? He doesn't have to. Finally, the child is not fasting. They make Abdullah before eating this Tisha B'Av, and on what? Okay. Let's begin from the beginning. It seems to me that, strictly speaking, the din is there's no obligation whatsoever anybody to fast whatsoever except a Tisha B'Av. Excuse me, including Tisha B'Av, except for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a Mishnah, Masechta Yuma, with a Gemara, with a Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, that teaches us that even from a younger age, maybe let's say 9 or 10, one should delay breakfast, and when at age 11, if the child is hungry, should fast the entire day Yom Kippur. Not on the other fast, not on Tisha B'Av. Reason being, among others, that fasting is the Indian of Chinuch, and we are a Chakala B'chol Yom Shiyovo. We hope that by the time this child turns 13, Tisha B'Av will become a Yom Tov and serve the other fast days as well. And therefore, that's the din. And if you ask me, that's the minute too. I would not allow a child under my mitzvah to fast, even if he wants to. I would not allow it. Till 13, they should not be fasting. That's what I think. So others may disagree. I don't hold from the 3 fasts to 1 fast. I know these customs exist. I do not think it's proper. Havdalah is a whole different story. A child is not much different than a chola, and the tradition is that a chola does make havdalah. He has to eat on Tisha B'Av by night or by day. However, I subscribe to what I consider to be a minority view, and I was referring you to Kovitz Shuvas Rabbi Yashiv, Chelek Aleph, Simon Nun Zayim, a remarkable correspondence between Gdolei Olam and Kevsky, who raises this question, and Rabbi Yashiv, who answers. Chaim says from 2 sources, Shutz Zecha Simcha and Shutz Sofnas Paneach, there's no Avdol and Tisha B'Av. And he thinks of Chaim, Sheva Tasa Adif, should not make Avdol at all on Tisha B'Av. First of all, you have to have wine. How can you have wine on Tisha B'Av? Eat wine on Tisha B'Av is a very bad thing, the Gemara says. Number 2, the Chola should only be eating what he has to eat. As some say with respect to Yom Kippur, I suggest it was in Tisha B'Av too. Came the rice of Tikkun, and why should you have wine which you don't need for your illness? Shouldn't do it. And 3, never heard that Ketanim make Avdolah. So if Ketanim don't make Avdolah, so Chom should also not make Avdolah. This is his reason why things cannot be made. Comes from the Yosha and answers. The topics are beautiful. The prime writes, Chof Gimel Nisa Tashnag, 1993, the Chvod Mori Bechari, Hagoyen Hagodl HaMefursim, certainly true, Mofes Hadorah Hadorah Shlita, all true. How does Rabbi Yosef write to his son-in-law? Moti Shabbos Kodesh Tazriya Metzorah Tashnag, the Chasani HaYokov Hagoyen Hagrach Shlita. It's true, both are true. So, he never heard of Zecha Simcha. I think it's the son of the Kohen, the son of, I think so. He doesn't have the Sofnas Paneach either, as a Rogach of it. But the Birka Yosef says, a Chola should make Avdolah on Tisha B'Av, Moshe Shabbos. That's what he says. So if you didn't make it the night before, then you had to break your fast by day, you have to make Avdolah by day as well. So says Rabbi Yosef. It goes back and forth. It should be true. It shouldn't be true. At the bottom line is he thinks that you should make Havdalah not on wine and make it on beer or something like that. That's what he spots. Comes up Chaim for the second Shiloh. That's very nice. But we don't rely on Chamar Medina because the Chazanish said there's no such thing Chamar Medina nowadays. I happen to think that's probably true. So you have to have these grape juice. So what should we do? So, comes Rabbi Yosef. This is a oral response Reb Chaim recorded. The Brisker Rav said, you can make on Yayin as well. There's a Shtikl Torah in the Rambam. That's Erev Tisha B'Av, like Mesa Mutal Lefonet, also B'Yayin. Tisha B'Av itself is like Avelis, Mutal B'Yayin. It's true, it's against your Azarua. But use Yayin Megito, use grape juice. That's what Rabbi Yosef was taught. The Fiyah Nias Daiti, I'm a Reb Chaim Kanievsky fan. My personal view is he should fire Reb Chaim Kanievsky, not make Avdolah at all, because it's not Avdolah for this year, Sunday night. That's what I think. Okay, 4. During the 9 days, what are the parameters of when one is allowed to take a shower? Can they use any hot water? So, B, an Erev Shabbos. Chazon. May one take a hot shower and wash his hair with shampoo like he does every Erev Shabbos. So, let's go back a step. The idea of not showering for the 9 days is a minhag. It's not a din. Even this is the Shua Shokabo. Even if there is Shua Shokabo, it's only a minhag, not a din. This year there's no Shua Shokabo. It's even a little bit more lenient. Nonetheless, it's a strong minhag, according to Shulchan Aruch. I keep that minhag. I typically take a shower every day, but in the 9 days, I don't take a shower at all. Now, there is a heter called istinus. Now, it's true that heter of istinus is found in Masechta the Brachos to Zayin and Beis, even for Avelus, which is Meikir Radin. That's just a minhag. Nonetheless, the Rosh writes it, and I quote, the Simmons as well. Lo called the Omar istinus anim mehem ninilat atchiyomer b'kiyim. Everybody wants this loophole. I'm an istis, I'm sensitive, so I can take a shower. So the Rosh says, you don't believe him. So Bekiyim. What does Bekiyim mean? The Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Yoredeya, Simon Shin Pei Aleph. If you look there in the Rosh, in the Madani Yonta, Os Aleph, he quotes the Ramban. What's an istis? Quote, Mitzar Harbe Ubo Lidei Mechush. Ubo Lidei Mechush means he says such pain is going to call an illness. Today, when everyone's used to taking showers every day, I'll grant you that the person who doesn't shower may be viewed as a mitzvah. The weather's very hot. But I never heard of someone getting a mechush, an illness. Mechush is an illness, sickness. From not showering, I haven't heard it. Perhaps there are some, and perhaps that's why we need Bekiyim. You don't need Bekiyim to know if someone's a mitzvah. Bekiyim to know if he has a mechush. That's how I understand it. Therefore, it seems to me it's proper to keep the original minhag, not to take a shower for the entire 9 days when it is possible. But since the whole thing is only a minhag, we cannot protest or scold someone who is lenient on the basis of being some kind of an istinus. That I can't stop. But if you go back to the original minhag, you don't take a shower, not a hot shower, not a cold shower. You don't go swimming in the 9 days, as we well know. Unless a person is so sweaty that then he must take a shower as a heter gomer. Here in Mekim Marasha, Kolel, as some of you may know, of an annual volleyball tournament of the 9 days. And throughout the first ball on Sunday, he's ready Tuesday, the third day of the tournament. After they finish playing, they come out sweating like crazy. It's so hot. Once it's so hot, sweaty, then it's permissible to take a shower because it's getting rid of the Zaya and possibly Lichluch from these gates. This is all during the week. 4B, on Friday, it seems to me it can be mekel completely. Like every shower, you take a hot shower with soap and shampoo. It seems to be smooth. That's what I do. And even though there doesn't disagree, I think it's permissible. Question 5. Regarding making a siyum during the 9 days to enable one to eat meat. A. Can someone make a private siyum for his immediate family, or must he have a minyan and say Kaddish? B. If someone usually does not make a siyum upon completion of a mesechta, because I don't know it well enough to make a siyum, when I share b'chutz l'kiddush, he poo-poos that. Okay. Should I push him all year round? May he make it during the 9 days? C. Is a limitation to not make from the 7th of Av and on this year on Thursday night? And on this year Thursday night. D. What must the participant be present for? The last learning, the Hadron, the Kaddish. As long as he's eating at the Suda, is it fine? E. If someone finished the Masech the week before the 9 days, may he delay the Seer. Once again, it's critical to note that not eating meat in the 9 days is only a minhag. It's not a din. People don't realize that. And once it's a minhag, you follow the minhagim, the chumrah and the kula. The same way it's a chumrah not to eat meat, it's the kula, it's quoted in the Ramah. To have meat in a Suda's mitzvah, seem as certainly a Suda's mitzvah. So go back to the questions. If you make it for immediate family, of course you can. You don't need a minhag, you don't need Kaddish. If you typically don't make a siyum, should you push him to do it all around? No. Can you make a siyum during the 9 days? Yes. There's a limitation from the 7th of Av. It's better. If you make a siyum on Thursday, try to do it before sunset. It's possible. What should you be there for? Ideally, of course, it should be for the last learning. It's a siyum. You want to be there for the last learning. If you were not there, there are those who are more mako. If you were there, the Hadron, or the Kaddish, some of you make like you just come for the Suda. Obviously, that's far from ideal. May you delay it? In my opinion, the answer is yes. It's only a minhag, and therefore you can make a siyum this week, even if you finished last week. Six. Must one switch out of his Shabbos clothes his Lotus Shabbos so as not to wear them on Tisha B'Av? If so, exactly when should he change? Is it the same halacha for an Ovel and Moshe Shabbos during Shiva? This is a good question. There are two possibilities. One, you daven Marav as soon as you can daven Marav, like you did every Moshe Shabbos. And it says in the Ramah, you just kick off your shoes after Baruch Hu, implying clearly that the rest of your Shabbos clothes stay on. So you're davening Marav in Shabbos clothes. You stay assuming in those clothes till you leave shul. Some may leave shul before Eicha. Most people leave shul first after Eicha and the Kinos. So it's true you're saying Eicha and Kinos in Shabbos clothes. But that's just the way it is. That is a very, very common minhag. The second minhag, to postpone Marav to a bit later, give people 10, 15 minutes extra after the normal time for Marav in order to have a chance to switch into their Tisha B'Av gear, obviously including non-leather footwear, but also removing their Shabbos vest, put on, we'll call weekday clothes. And that's a second option. The same options which apply for Tisha B'Av apply for a real level. I'll tell you an interesting story in my own family. We observed Shiva from my mother, Aleha HaShalom, so my father, that was belongs to two different shuls, Young Yisrael of Kew Garden Hills, and the Shtibel, Be'er Yisrael. Well, they both were nice enough to announce minyan times, but Moshe Shabbos, the minyan times were announced 15 minutes apart, as they were typically done for every Moshe Shabbos. Young Yisrael daven, you know, the regular time, and the Shtibel, they daven 15 minutes later. So now we had people coming both times. So I told my brother, listen, you could daven first. You'll daven in your Shabbos clothes, right? I'll daven the second minyan, which is much later. I daven in my weekday clothes. That's what we did. So two possibilities are both okay. Number seven. If a man is making the bracha on Ner for Avdolah, must he wait until after davening Marav? Could he make it before going to shul? If a man was Yossi in shul, could he make the bracha again for his wife, or should she make it for herself? The answer is as follows. The minig is a very prevailing minig. You don't make Ner Avdolah except in shul. That's the minig. Everyone makes it together. That's the minig. There's nothing wrong if the man wants to make it before going to shul. He's allowed to do it. But as far as the second question for his wife, if you look at the Bir Halacha in Reish Sadivav Sitches, he says, a woman is not obligated in the Ner of Avdolah at all. Therefore, the question was raised, who should make the bracha? He or she, the answer is neither. Do not make a bracha for a woman for Ner Havdalah at all. Not Tisha B'Av, not any of the week, most of the Shabbos of the week, or Shabbos of the year either. Question number eight. Should a woman not wear any jewelry on Tisha B'Av? Does that include a married woman's rings? What about a basic necklace? Should a man not wear a tie during davening on Tisha B'Av? That is one strictly for adornment. Very good questions. Where does it come from, these questions about wearing jewelry? Where does it come from? Let me tell you what. If you look at Hilchos Avelus, you will see that a woman with Avelus should stay away from what we call takshitin. And typically people understand takshitin to mean jewelry. That's what it usually means. In my view, that is not correct. Not correct. I think that Shida does not mean necklaces, doesn't mean jewelry at all. It means what we call ha'avaras seir. That the use of that word in Masechta Mo'ikotin, I will refer you, if you want to look this up further, I have a sefer and brachas called the Am Mordechai. In the back I have a kuntz, Al Ella, in memory of my mother, Le'er Shalom. And on page Reish Tetzvam, in the newer edition, you'll find this discussion. And therefore, there's no prohibition for a woman in Avelis to wear a necklace in it and to wear her rings or any bracelets, nothing. And therefore, Kavachomer, there's no problem when it comes to Tisha B'Av, and there's no problem wearing a tie either. No problem. Number nine. How do we pass on the Maisa by learning Torah on Erev Tisha B'Av, but it falls out on Shabbos like this year. I give a weekly shiur on Shabbos afternoon. Should I cancel? What about a regular year when it falls out on a weekday? Here in Kibbutz Moreh Shakolo, we follow one of the seven leniencies of the Beis HaLevi, a brisk, as cited in the Kor Baruch, which is permissible to learn Torah on Erev Tisha B'Av, on Shabbos, and even during the week. This is what we do here in our camp, and I recommend it for everybody else. Rabbi Alocha, Mishnah Brura talks about it, even though the Ramah discourages it. Why? Just learn Hilchos Aveilah and Hilchos Tisha B'Av. Many people don't want to do that. They want to learn what they want to learn. So there's room to be lenient in this matter. Number 10. Is it permissible to learn Musa Sfarim on Tisha B'Av? I assume yes. But I didn't understand why Poskim say not to say Pirkei Yovas when they have Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos. B. Is one allowed to learn Hilchos Aveilah on Tisha B'Av in depth? Can we learn Ein Yaakov and other Tfarshim from the Agadata about the Churban? So, the answer to the first question of yes is a good assumption. Pirkei Yovas is a good question. Very hard for me to answer that question. Maybe certain parts of Pirkei Yovas are not say Musa. That's what almost all of it is. In depth, seems to me that as long as you're not trying specifically to make Chidush Torah, it's okay. I have a beautiful sefer in front of me called Hilchos Bein HaMitzorim by Rabbi Simcha Bun Kohn, an article, page 137 and 138. There he says that, listen, if you're making Chidushim, that great Simcha, that you shouldn't do. But to study it in depth, you have to know what to do. So study to know what to do, that's okay. Superficially, you can make a mistake in what you're doing. And you certainly may learn first on the God of Chubur. 11. It once say, here's our daily quote of Tillim on Tisha B'Av. So the Magen Avraham in Simas Tov Kuf Nun Daled Katan Zayin says, no. He says, no. He says, no, you can't do it. You just can't. Not allowed. 12. On Tisha B'Av, it's permissible to say hello when having or ending a phone call when someone comes to pay for a shul program, but look at the same for another. So in that same beautiful page, he says, no, say hello or goodbye on the phone. Not everybody agrees. Not everybody agrees for Tisha B'Av. Not everybody agrees for another. But those who say that hello and goodbye is just a pleasantry, has no meaning. Doesn't mean anything. It's not called the Yisrael Shel Shalom. So those who are lenient, sometimes you'll see people pick up the phone and say hello. They'll pick up the phone and say, yes, yes. You're certainly allowed to say, who's this? That's what you're allowed to say. And then according to the Kilim, you can even say hello and goodbye. 13. And when wash out his mouth in the morning with water or mouthwash on Tisha B'Av, the same halacha by the other fast days. There in that same beautiful book, page 16, he says it should not be done in any of the fast days. But, cause of discomfort, he quotes the Mishnah Brura, Simatov Kuf Samach Zayin Sekon Yudav Adas Mutter, and he extends it to Tisha B'Av as well. Question 14. A sick elderly kanga must eat this Tisha B'Av on Sunday. Just needs to break the fast during the daytime. When should he make Avdolah? On what beverage? Can his wife and others be yotzi with his Avdolah? If he wants to eat beef, does he wash his hands regularly or only until the knuckles? Or is it preferable to avoid eating bread? If he's allowed to eat bread, should he say nachem and benching? Is there a difference between the morning and the afternoon? Slowly. As far as Avdolah, I already said to you earlier, my personal view is he shouldn't make Avdolah at all. Those who hold to make Avdolah, he should make Avdolah. When I think you should make it on Sunday night. Again, the what beverage? It goes back to the same story where Rabbi Yashiv said, according to Brisker Rav, you can even make it on wine if you have to break your fist. The Chaim says, shouldn't make Avdol at all. Obviously, the wife and others could be also if they're breaking their fist. If they're not breaking their fist, it's a lum de shashayla. Then a woman who is fasting, the most yotzi with Avdol of someone on Tisha B'Av who's not fasting. So here it goes back to what I said earlier. In my view, this man is only really Motzi Tisha B'Av, and therefore he shouldn't be making it, and she shouldn't be also with it. Those who hold that you can make it on Tisha B'Av, they presumably hold this man has really arrived, it's just a technical matter, he can't drink. So then perhaps, if he does it, his wife and others can be also with him, but to me it's not a simple matter at all. If you're having bread, you should wash it till the knuckles, that's the Ikar Adin. A person wants to wash through the wrist is also okay because it's not the Shem Tanug. So therefore, especially in Tisha B'Av, it's not Yom Kippur, there's a little bit of room to be made. Because you don't have to avoid eating bread. If bread is good for you, for your health, you should have bread. You don't have to say Nachum and benching neither morning nor afternoon. 15. How do you recommend a teenager to spend a long Tisha B'Av afternoon if they're not yet on the level of learning the permissible portions of Torah? B. A sincere lady commented to my Rebbe that she doesn't know how to spend the Tisha B'Av afternoon properly. In previous years, she has watched various Tisha B'Av videos produced by various organizations that we showed in shul, but she feels at the end of the day, she did not really feel the avers of the chuban. What should we recommend to her? Well, the first idea, what should you do? Two choices. Best thing to do, just go to sleep. You got these... The teenagers can sleep a very, very long time. You know, ideally, the kinyan should go to, as it says in the Ramah, till Mincha, as ideally. And therefore, when you have a Mincha Gedola, you probably sleep for the rest of the day if you're a teenager. If you don't, the best thing to do is read something. You don't want to read, you're not supposed to read real Torah, and it has no patience for the Dvarim Aroyim, Shebi Yirmiyah, Be Iyov, or Hilchos Avelis. Read a book. Read a book, a history book, something which is a... How about biography of Gedolim? A lot of interesting things to be read. Much easier to involve a teenager in, even if they're not yet ready to learn Torah proper. As far as the Rebbetzin's question, let her read history books about the Churban. Very dramatic. If that doesn't move her, let her read a history book about the Holocaust. You know that my Rebbe said, and he quoted his uncle, the Briskrov, said the same thing, that he didn't hold from Yom HaShoah. He held that Tisha B'Av is the day of commemorating all the tragedies of the Jewish people, as you see in the kinos. There's so many tragedies. Let her just read about October 7th. That's another terrible tragedy, which is still going on to this day. Read about that. If you the Churban, based on a more recent event. The source of my Rebbe and the Briskrov of the Rashi and Divrei, which is found in the article Kinos, when they introduce the Kinos, I think it's number 25, about non-Beis HaMikdash Churban events. I think they perhaps forgot that number 22 was also about the Crusades, but the point is well taken. Number 16. Someone raised the following question. During the recent war with Iran, there was a live stream broadcast from Israel. There was one allowed on Friday afternoon in America to watch these broadcasts since they were presumably developed with Shabbos. Can one watch them after Shabbos? B. A similar question is by a congregant. Would he be able to get a copy of the video footage of the shul security cameras of the room where son had explained his past Shabbos? C. A brother lost his Gemara with all his written notes inside. Left in the room in the shul, it's not there now. Can we look at the video and the security cameras to track down where it went? And hopefully be able to retrieve the Gemara for him. Okay. The first part, the answer is no. You may not have a no from Chilul Shabbos. Not on Shabbos and not even after Shabbos. They say it's no B'chdei Shiyaseh. It wouldn't be done on Shabbos. It couldn't be done after Shabbos. So the answer to that both is no. And so too, when it comes to the Bar Mitzvah boys laning. Can you still imagine? Every shul these days have videos. It'll be a new thing now. Everyone's going to take a video of the son's bar mitzvah lady, put it on a cassette or a thing, and have it forever. We never had these things because Shabbos, you can't do it. Now, every shul has it. It'll be a terrible zilzul in Shabbos that people are going to now copy from the security camera, keep it in their file. The next will have it. Bar mitzvah will have an ofruf, they'll have it. Who knows what, a kiddush, and everything. The rabbi's rushes. Everything will be on camera forever. That'll be a terrible zilzul in Shabbos. That is not permitted. On the other hand, the Gemara is lost. They think that's okay. Why is that okay? The purpose of a security camera is to track down potential harm, harm coming from invaders to cause harm to people, chas v'shalom, or ganavim. Many ganavim have been caught on security cameras. And here too, maybe someone stole the Gemara. Either stole it purposely, which is unlikely, or stole it accidentally, caught on some source of the Baba Kama. Accidental stealing is also called stealing, and therefore I think it's permissible to track down the Gemara, but not for the other reasons that were mentioned before. Number 17. Kimon makes ice cubes on Shabbos, putting water in the plastic receptacle and putting it in the freezer, as his family likes very cold drinks. B. When putting ice to a drink, is there any halachic difference between pouring in the drink first and adding the ice cubes as opposed to putting the ice cubes into an empty cup and pouring the warm drink on top of them? C. They want to mix the ice cubes in the drink using a spoon to speed up the melting and cooling of the process. D. I have a pitcher that has drink inside with ice cubes. May I pour out the drink using an opening that will hold back the ice cubes that I don't want in my cup? Okay, one at a time. The first question of making ice is discussed in the Shmir Shabbos Kilkosa, Perik Yud Sif Dalid. His language is Tol Himana Elam Kenish Sora Godol, which means it's not clear. Some say yes, some say no. So if you don't really need it, it's better to avoid it. But if you really need it, you can certainly rely on the lenient views, because the whole prohibition is very doubtful in all these cases. So too, in the second question, it's found in the same Perek Yud and Shmir Shabbos Kochosam, Sif Beis and Sif Gimel. We were taught you must put the liquid in first. Liquid in first avoids some of the problems of Nolad and other things. See, once again, an interesting language in Shmir Shabbos Kochosam there. What does he say? Tov Yaseh Lo La Mispekapit. Be a nice idea not to melt it with your spoon. Why? Because some say that it's okay. If you look there in Ha'ara Vav, and there's an important klal, the Ayin Od, if you look on page 11 of this, this is the edition that was our main edition for the last 40-something years, not the newest one. On page 11, it says, V'ayin Od means Be'acholekes. So it's a machlokes. Some can strict, some will leave. Tov Yaseh, better to not do it, but if you have to, you can do it. And D, I think it's mutter. Why? To look in Simon Shin Yud Tes Sif Yud, you will see that if there is a drink that people would drink even without removing that which is extraneous, then it's permissible to remove those impurities. Here too, you can drink it with the ice, you can drink it without the ice, no big deal. Therefore, I think it's permissible. In addition, those who claim that water and ice is considered min echad, there's bechlal no problem. And more than that, if you look at Shmir Shabbos Kuchasa, Perek Gimel Hocha Kuf Kof Hei, from Shlomo Zalman, has a cloud, a kli which is used for immediate consumption, it's not a problem. And here it's meant for immediate consumption. You pour it out, drink it right away. Finally, number 18. What are the parameters of when it's appropriate and when not to put a feeding tube into a very sick person? It's the hardest question of them all. If the very sick person is aware, conscious, and you can ask him the question, you ask him, do you want us to put in the feeding tube? If he still understands what's going on, he'll know what to answer you. Rav Moshe is a tshuva. You can't force feed anybody, not by mouth and not by tube. He says no is no. He may realize that his condition is so dire, it's a feeding tube, is an operation which can kill him on the table in rare cases, and it can prolong a life of misery, of pain, which he doesn't want. He'll let us say no. If, on the other hand, there's a reasonable chance of recovery, we should convince him, beg him to put it in the hope that he'll be healed, he'll be able to take it out. Okay. But what if he's not conscious? If it's irreversible, the state of being not conscious, in my view, and this may even extend to the case of advanced dementia, we can suggest not to put it in. He may by doing that without extending his life. That's true. Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Chav Beis. Yofa Shoa Achas B'Tshuva Ma'asim Tovim B'Olam Hazeh B'Kol Chai Olam Abo. Yofa Shoa Achas Al Korat Ruach B'Kol Olam Abo B'Kol Chai Olam Hazeh. Sounds like a contradiction. My answer is, in the second half of the Mishnah, we're talking about a living world without the possibility of Tshuva Ma'asim Tovim. Then, better to be an Olam Abo. What happens, though, if it is reversible, potentially? Then we cannot say the law is going to be Tshuva Ma'asim Tovim in this world. But now he's not conscious. Now what do you do? Proper way to do it, in my opinion, is that the people should try, the next of kin, or the healthcare proxy, should try to figure out what this very sick person would want to do. Would he want it, and would he not want it? If in doubt, it's probably safer to put it in. Maybe that's what he wants. The Sovim Pekuach Nefesh. This concludes the 18 questions of today. I'd like to conclude with a few remarks about Rabbi Yomin Hammer, Zichrono Livracha, whose first Yahrzeit comes today, Dalet Menachem Av. The Torah Kadosha we read, Pashav is also Bracha. The Binyamin Amar, Yidid Hashem, Yishkon Levetach Olof, Hofeh Olof Kol Yom, Ben Kasef Olof Shochein. The first half, may Hashem's beloved dwell securely by him, by Hashem. The Ibn Ezra explains, Ba'avur Binyamin, because Binyamin is Yidid Hashem, and Yishkon Binyamin, Levetach Olof, Al Hashem. So explains the Ibn Ezra, and that's the actual translation. The second half of the pasuk, translated, Hashem hovers over him all day long, and rests between his shoulders. That's what it means, as Rashi explains. Chovev olav, mechas also umegin olav, and Hashem dwells ben kasefov. Rav Binyamin Hammer, zichrono livracha, initiated and led 141 conference calls for the rabbis of the National Council of Young Israel. All of them were in the Bechina of the Binyamin Amar. He'd introduce me, and I would speak to Binyamin. There were many people on the call who heard it live, and he would tell me that people heard it afterwards and got recorded. He would be so proud how many people were on the recording and how people asked for the recording subsequently. It was his pride and joy. His pride and joy. For this alone, aside from all his other Masim Tovim and Ma'aseh Chesed that he did for his entire life, he is the Yadid Hashem Ba'olam Hazeh. But he served Hashem's principle of spreading Torah. And he was a Boteach al Hashem. He trusted in Hashem. Right, Yishkon Binyamin Levetach Olav Al Hashem. This was Rav Binyamin. Now in Olam Abba, the second half of the pasuk applies. Chofev Olav Kol Hayom. Kodesh Baruch Hu is hovering over him in the next world. Yom Shekulo Tov, and protects him, as Rashi says, protects him, and dwells as it were between his shoulders. Today, his first yahrzeit, his neshama goes on to even higher levels. And we hope that the continuation of his wonderful deeds, including this particular conference call that he initiated and kept going for over a decade, he kept it going regularly with great loyalty, with great talent, with great organizational skills. We hope this will continue into the future. I'd like to thank my dear Talmud, Rav Dov Shraya Shalita, who has stepped into the breach to replace Rav Binyamin and to organize his conference calls. We're very, very proud that he's doing it, and I'm grateful on a personal note that he's doing it. I'd like to also thank the National Council of Young Israel, headed by Rabbi David Warshaw Shalita, for their assistance in continuing this worthy project. In his lifetime, Rav Binyamin has suggested maybe we should put out a book, a sefer, with these answers. I never thought of it. Every week I would get the printout. I'd scribble some notes in Hebrew on the side, which I utilized to answer the telephone. However, unbeknownst to me, one of my wonderful Talmidim, Rav Shlomo Klapot Shlita, Rebbe in DRS, transcribed them all. He has notes on every one of the 141 that were given Rabbi Hammer's lifetime. And sadly, after his passing, it was a renewed push that perhaps it should see the light of day. As we all know, it's a long way to go from transcribed notes taken even by a talented transcriber such as Rabbi Klapot, till it becomes worthy for print. I have to thank a number of individuals who have expressed a willingness to assist in this project. Rabbi Gil's student, Shalita, was sponsored by the OU, one of our wonderful organizations. Rabbi Josh Flug, Shalita, not from OU Press, but from Reitz Press. They're two very, very wonderful presses who are willing to assist together with the National Council of Young Israel to prepare and to arrange these responses, if you will. Everyone is using what they call today AI. Don't know how it works, but apparently it does work. I saw a few samples, and we hope that they will be successful in bringing this project to fruition to put out the Sefer in memory of Rav Binyamin Zichrono Livracha. So I conclude today on his first yard site, not a coincidence, we had 18 questions. Kiminyan Chai. And so we conclude this presentation with the words of Rabbi Binyamin Zichrono Livracha, Tehei Nishmaso Tzurura B'Tzror Achayim.